That's what this series of messages are about, are the fruit of the Spirit, which are not natural to us, but they come by the Spirit and blessing of the Lord, Christ living within us, the Spirit of God living within us, God living within us, that makes it possible and makes it such that we can be producers of this fruit. Because as we've read several times, and we're not going to read that this morning, but we've read several times that what is natural to us is not these fruit. But in Galatians chapter 5, we do want to read the scripture here in verse number 22. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no fulfilling of those fruit. You don't ever get to where you've filled up and met your quota of love or joy or peace, long-suffering, etc. We don't ever get to the end of producing enough of those fruit. There's not a quota or requirement that says, well, you need 10 bushel baskets of such, of peace, and you're done. No, it's going to be for a lifetime. It is going to be for a lifetime. And it says and goes on to say there in verse number 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, those things that the flesh naturally does in verses 19 through 21. They that are Christ do that crucifying of the flesh. Are you? Am I? We need to be. Are we crucifying our flesh? Are we mortifying the deeds of the flesh with the affections and lusts? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we have life, if we have salvation, if we have that rescue in Christ, and we live because of the Spirit of God within us, let us also walk in this life with that same Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain or empty glory, provoking one another, envying one another, or being jealous one of another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can meet together with your people, meet together with your house, Father, the church that you've placed us in, and Lord, to be fitly joined together. We thank you that we can meet together to worship you, to sing praises to your name, to hear the teaching and preaching of your word, to pray unto you, and bring our petitions before you, Lord, to praise your name in those things that you've done, to praise your name in your promises and your goodness, Lord, to just extol and honor and magnify and glorify your name, Father. We thank you for the privilege that you've given us to do so. Lord, help us to worship you now. Lord, as we look into your word, help us to hear what you say to us and to believe you, to trust you and follow you in it. And for any that are here this morning and not saved, Father, we pray that this morning would be the time of all of their salvations. Lord, that you would touch them and that you would save them. Lord, that you would show them their great need. And Lord, how they stand condemned before you because of their sin. And Lord, that you'd show them and reveal unto them Jesus Christ. Lord, give them ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, that Jesus Christ died for sinners like them. Lord, that they might come to you in repentance and faith. Repenting before you, Father, that they are guilty, that they are sinners, that they need a Savior, that they have no hope in and of themselves and in this world. But Lord, that Jesus Christ is the only hope that they have. And Lord, that they'd receive Him, they'd believe Him, they'd trust Him, that when He came and lived and suffered, bled and died, was buried and rose again, Lord, that they would know that He did it for them. Lord, save as you only can. Help us now as we worship you and bless with your word. Take me out of the way and help us to hear from heaven. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Here the fruit of the Spirit, it says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering is what we want to take a look at this morning. And before we do that, let's go ahead and take a look over here in Matthew 7 and take a look at these passages again. The importance of fruit being borne out in our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about this here on the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15, the Lord says, beware of false prophets, those that have a word that they proclaim, but it is false. Beware of them which come to you in sheep's clothing. They've got that outward sheep pelt, if you will. They've got that wool on. They're putting on a show and covering up what they inwardly are, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them, the Lord says, by their fruits. By their fruits they'll know. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It is an impossibility for that to be. It just will not happen. So it is with people. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. If fruits are not born, if the fruit of the Spirit is not born by folks, by people, then they are none of the Lord's. Look what it says over here in John chapter 15. Read this quickly. In John chapter 15, verse number 5, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Understand that order. The Lord is the trunk. He is the one that the nourishment, that the food, that the direction, that everything comes from. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, abideth. That word abide means to live in. Christ in me, my hope of glory, right? As we sang, as the choir sang. He said, he that abideth in me, lives in me, and I, living and abiding in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. It'll be known that we are the disciples of the Lord if we bear much fruit. That is how the Father is glorified. Do you want to glorify God? Or do you just want to kind of abide and skimp by and get along easy and kind of tag along on the edge? Or do you want to be up close to the Lord, desiring the Lord, desiring to obey Him, desiring to follow Him? Is our faith, is the faith that you and I have, is it just some religion that we put on when it's convenient? We get here to services, we pull it out of the locker, if you will, and hang it on for a little bit, and wear it for a while, and then put it back in the locker, and then go on and live our own way through the rest of the week. How is it with us? What kind of fruit do we bear? The Lord says fruit is most important. He says it's by fruit that the Father is glorified. These people on this earth that the Lord has saved, they live in a way that is not known naturally to the inhabitants of this earth. They bear spiritual fruit. Why? Because they have the Spirit of God living within. In Romans chapter 8, and I want these scriptures to become familiar with each and every one of us. We all need them. We all need these scriptures. We all need this word that we might hear what the Lord is saying to us. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, speaking to those that there at Rome that were saved, the church there at Rome, said, you're not in the flesh anymore, but you're in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Does He? Does the Spirit of God dwell within? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Spirit of God must live within. And the Spirit of God living within will be manifested by fruit. As the Lord said about the different types of grounds that there are, and that one, that last piece of ground, that fourth piece of ground, the tillage of the Lord, where the seed goes in and the Lord causes it to grow, He grants repentance and faith. The sinner sees that Jesus Christ is his only hope, and he receives the Word and keeps it. Amen? That's what it says there. Receives the Word of God and says, yes, that's what I need. Yes, I need to keep it. Yes, I need it in my heart. Brings forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, but brings forth fruit because there is life. Not a dead branch, but a live branch. Long-suffering. Long-suffering is not a word that we use much, is it? Well, I was most long-suffering the other day, and blah, 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 blah. We don't use that anymore, do we? And so I found it interesting in this study about the word long-suffering, and it seems to be, there seems to be the Lord's definition of long-suffering, and as it is with mankind, there's man's definition of long-suffering. As we take a look into this, a synonym, another word that means the same as long-suffering, is the word patience. Patience. And long-suffering, long, that word long, it has to do with time, doesn't it? It has to do with waiting. And that word patience, we use that word and we say often, say, well, I just don't have enough patience. We need not brag about it. We need not pray for it, because the Lord, I think the Lord will give you some stuff to make you patient. But we just need to go ahead and ask the Lord to be strong and help us in living for Him and see the opportunities and be patient. He says, in patience possess ye your souls. That's an instruction. That's a command from the Lord. And patience possess ye your souls. So much of it is in living in this life and even in the ministry. we do that which we have before us to do, and we seek to obey the Lord. We preach the Word of God. We witness to folks. We talk to folks. We counsel with folks, try to help them and show them the way of the Lord and what the Lord says. And then what do we have to do? We have to wait, don't we? We have to wait. We have to wait for the Spirit of God to work. I can't get anybody down and wrestle them down and save them. I can't get anybody to get a hold of, we can't get a hold of one another and cause one another to want to obey the Lord. We can't do it. We can't do it. We preach and we teach and we tell what the Word of God says. You read it in your Bibles, I trust, and you see what the Word of God says. And we have to wait for conviction to be sent of the Lord to stir souls and to touch us. And we need that. We need that. Long-suffering. Well, this long-suffering that the Lord is talking about, it's talking about a thing happening to a person, a thing happening to one, and they're not interested in getting even. They're not interested in getting back. They're not interested in just finding a solution immediately. They bear it. They bear it patiently. They wait, they entrust that thing that they're going through, whatever it is that they're dealing with, and we'll see examples of this in the message, I trust. But whatever it is that they're dealing with that has come their way, the Lord's long-suffering, scriptural long-suffering, is taking it, bearing it, not fretting at it, not wrestling against it, but bearing it, and yielding it up to the Lord to help and bless in His time. Long suffering. Long suffering. There is a long suffering that exists amongst men, women, boys, and girls, and this old man and the depravity of the world and such as that is, we'll bear up under such a thing just because of grit. We'll bear up under such a thing because we're just not going to be spiritually beat, if you will. I'm not talking about salvation's kind of spirit. But I'm just talking about the will that we have. We're just not going to be done that way. And as it's going to be manifested here, I trust, in the Scriptures, we're going to see that long-suffering is just waiting to make it even or a little bit better. That long-suffering is just waiting for the opportunity to strike back. That long-suffering is that long-suffering that looks for vengeance. That long-suffering is that which is the temper which does not easily succumb under suffering. You just bear on it, bear under it, waiting to make it even, waiting to get back. That's manly. That's man's way of long-suffering. But the long-suffering of the Lord that the Scripture bears out is a self-restraint which does not hastily retaliate at a wrong. Man's retaliation says, uh-huh. Man's long-suffering says, yeah, I'm going to remember that one. And I may have to remember it 10 years. But I'm waiting for my shot. I'm waiting to get mine back in. And you know, if we're honest with ourselves, that is the way that it is. But the Lord's long-suffering is self-restraint, which does not hastily retaliate a wrong. The one is opposed to cowardice and despondency, talking about man's long-suffering. But the Lord's long-suffering is opposed to wrath and revenge. I thought that was a good explanation and helped me to understand it better. Long time suffering, bearing under the load of whatever that it is. Man's long-suffering is not like the Lord's. Turn over here in Acts chapter 23. Here's a group of guys, group of men. Here's the long-suffering that they have. They bound themselves with an oath. There's a man that they hate because of his preaching. They hate this man because of his preaching. They hate this man because of him preaching Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation for sinners. They see him as this man as having tore down everything that they stand for and everything that they live for. They're looking for that righteous place and righteous position. They're looking for their own works that they can claim. Here in Acts chapter 23, as these deal with the Apostle Paul, and the Lord just speaks to him there in verse 11, In verse number 11 of Acts chapter 23, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and said, We have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. And therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. And Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, Bring this young man to the chief captain, and for he hath certain thing to tell him. And so he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner, called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, What is that that thou hast to tell me? And he said, The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring Paul tomorrow unto the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for the lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men that have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. Now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. These men are going to be long-suffering. They said, we're not going to eat, we're not going to drink, until we put the Apostle Paul, we put Paul to death. Saul of Tarsus, till we've killed him. They're going to be long-suffering. And as you know, the account in the Scripture is what? Did they kill him? They sure didn't, did they? Wonder if they're still not eating and still not drinking. They're long-suffering as it is with men. Sometimes it just wears out, doesn't it? It doesn't last. And it's sure not to the good. There is an example there of man's long-suffering, and it is carnal, it is temporal, it is worldly. But may the Lord help us now as we take a look into the Scripture and see about the long-suffering of the Lord. The long-suffering defined by the Lord Jesus Christ in His life. The Apostle in Galatians chapter 5 tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. But as we've seen so far, and I trust we will continue to see in this series of messages, that we can go to the Lord's life, and we can see what He says about long-suffering. Long-suffering, let's see what the Lord says about it and how He defines it. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Long-suffering is a way to refer to the concept or the principle or that fruit. But when it's being done, when long-suffering is being exercised, you never use that word. That word's not used there in the midst of it. But you see the action of it. And that's something that I didn't realize, or as I took a look at this and considered this and studied and prayed over it, that long-suffering is, you never say, I'm being long-suffering. But it's witnessed, it's evidenced, and there are the things that come into practice with it. Patience, as we've mentioned, is a synonym for long-suffering. But here the Lord tells us in Mark chapter 10, in Mark chapter 10, we see here in verse number 13, and they brought young children unto him that he should touch them, the Lord. They brought them to the Lord. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. The people, they bring these children to him. In another passage, it refers to them as infants. And it says, bring them to me. The apostles, the disciples said, get those kids out of here. The Lord doesn't have time for them. And the Lord, he rebuked them. He was upset by it. He said, suffer them to come to me. Well, a little child is it's got a lot of maintenance that you've got to deal with. They're always slobbering all over each other, and they're snotting and sneezing and coughing and carrying on. They got to eat a certain time. They need help. But the Lord says those little children are like those that enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know what the Lord's saying? That even though we adults who think that we're so independent and so self-sufficient, the Lord looks upon us as little children. And He says, suffer the little children to come unto Me. The Lord makes reference to people and how it is when He looks over the people. He refers to the people that He saw during the time of His ministry as a sheep without a shepherd. And in that way, the way it is with little kids, they're interested in the moment. That's all they've got on their mind. They don't remember much about the past, and they don't really think about what's going to happen in the next hour or two, do they? They're just dealing with right now. They're interested mostly in having fun and playing, aren't they? They just don't know. They're ignorant, and being ignorant is not a bad thing. It just means you just don't know. Children are weak in knowledge and understanding, aren't they? And that's the way that it is with you and me, and of ourselves. We're just weak. We need help. We're high maintenance. And the Lord knows that. And He says, suffer the little children to come unto Me. Yeah, you're going to have to put some more time into dealing with kids. Yes, they don't understand. Yes, they are weak and they need to be carried sometimes. Yes, they don't know. Yes, they'll just run amok and run all over everything and go over the furniture and walk on the pit. They'll do it all. Why? They're children. But the Lord says, that's the way it is with people entering into the kingdom. He says, what's He go on to say there about those little children? Who, verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. You know, a child will believe about anything you tell him. And you know what you and I need to do? We need to believe everything the Lord tells us. And you know what? In that, the Lord dealing with us, it's like the Lord making that parallel to those little children coming, and He took them up in His arms, and He laid His hands on them, those little infants, and He blessed them. That's the way the Lord deals with you and me. We take more work. We take time. We don't know what in the world we're doing. We're naturally self-destructive. But the Lord is long-suffering with us. Long-suffering defined by the Lord Jesus Christ. Long-suffering for children. In Matthew chapter 15, let's see what the Scripture says. In Matthew chapter 15, we see here how it is that the Lord describes to us how it is the Lord's long-suffering for those without understanding. Those without understanding. In Matthew chapter 15, here the elders here and the disciples in the beginning of this chapter, or those that are of the Pharisees and such, they're quarreling with the disciples. And in verse number 1 of chapter 15, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, why did thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Why aren't they doing it the way we've always done it? We've been doing it this way for 50, 100, hundreds of years. Why aren't your disciples doing it that way? Why aren't they washing their hands before they eat? And the Lord goes on to talk to them, and He talks to them about some other things. Why did thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Verse 3, and He answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die to death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father and his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. If I take what I was going to allow for your living, mom and dad, and I go ahead and give it to the service, give it to the temple, then I'm off the hook. The Lord says it's treachery to do so. And verse 6, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, the talk is big, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Because to get away from the house of God, to get away from the worship of God, to get away from the service of God, and it's just right back to what they're used to doing. Got a weekend kind of salvation. Not a 7 day a week, 365 days and a year and 366 days on leap year kind of salvation. They draw nigh to me with their mouth. The talk is cheap, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain and emptiness do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Oh, may the Lord help us that we teach our way for the word of the Lord. That we teach what we say it ought to be, rather than what the Lord says. And listen to what he says. And he called the multitude together and said unto them, hear and understand. You need to hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. That old nasty talk, that old hard talk, that old mean talk. When we give our own opinion, when we give our own philosophy, when we give the way of the world, when we give and don't speak peaceably one to another, that is what defiles us. Then came his disciples and said unto them, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? Don't you realize you offended them? Don't you realize that they were offended after they heard this saying? What's the Lord say? Verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. What is it that you mean? Tell us what you mean. Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Long suffering that the Lord engages in on our behalf. Because we go on and on and on and don't understand. Now, when we don't understand, it's very clear from our study in James that we need to go to the Lord and ask. But these men had been with the Lord for a while. How it is, so many people, folks that say they have the Lord as a Savior and been in the Lord's churches for years and years and years, but not able to take the Word of God and be skillful with it to be a witness to folks. To be able to answer a question at work about what the Lord says about a certain thing. But the Lord is long-suffering with us, as he is there. He said, are ye also yet without understanding? He chides them. He gets on them. He's not necessarily kind about them, but he suffers long with them. And he goes ahead and he gives the answer, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth and goeth into the belly is cast out into the draught? Your food and getting a little bit of dirt on your food, even getting something on your food that'll make you sick. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. That's where the problem is. All each and every one of us in and of ourselves, we've got a problem with our heart. Our heart is far from God. It is full of wickedness, deception, and sin. And that is the heart, it is the soul that needs to be saved. He says, those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat without your hands being washed, that doesn't defile you. But the Lord is long-suffering in me. He expects them that they should have been able to get it by now, and they don't. They ask. He chides them a little bit, but then he goes ahead and explains, doesn't he? He is long-suffering with we that lack understanding. Look over in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. The long-suffering of the Lord. The long-suffering of the Lord. Mark chapter 8, verse number 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. They're out here on the boat, going from one side of Gennesaret to the other side, the Sea of Galilee, if you will. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Beware of their leaven, fellas. You need to watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees, and you need to watch out for the leaven of Herod. And what's the conclusion that they draw to? Oh, we're just so natural, aren't we? We just are so caught up with that which is in this life. And they reason, verse 16, among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? Is he talking about bewaring of the leaven because we didn't bring any more bread than we did? We don't even have one loaf. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Child of God, been saved for years and in his church, perceive ye not yet? We need to be built up in the Word of God. We need to be taking the Word of God and having it in us so the Lord can use it in us. We need to have understanding and application of the Word of God. And he challenged his disciples, which are living with him every day for 3 years, don't you understand yet? Don't you understand yet? You know, the Word of God makes it plain and clear. Jesus is meeting with his church every time that we have services. Every time. This is the pillar and ground of the truth. Not this building, but you and me that the Lord has added to this church. It's the pillar and the prop of the truth of the Word of God in this part of Logan County, in this region, in Olmsted, Kentucky. The Lord says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And that's not talking about at home. That's talking about in his church. The simplest thing of being in services every time the door is opened. Understand ye not yet? It's the Lord. It's the Lord that has worked in the church to have the service. It's not about me. It's not so that you can come and hear me. What about your Lord? Do you not want to meet with your Lord and Savior? Do you not want to meet with your Lord and Savior? Why reason ye, verse 17, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember when I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? Fellas, if we need something to eat, is that any problem for me? Is that any problem for me? Don't you remember? But that's what it is with us. We don't remember, do we? And so the Lord suffers long with us, doesn't he? He chides us. He gets on us because he loves us. And then he goes ahead and tells them. He says, I fed 4,000 with nothing. I fed 5,000 and there was left over a basket for each and every one of you. Do you think I'm talking about us having enough for lunch or supper? No. But he goes on and explains to them and deals with them about the doctrine. The doctrine, the teaching, the way of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the way, the wicked way of Herod, who took his brother's wife as his own wife. He says, watch after that doctrine. Watch after the doctrine of the world. The long-suffering of the Lord with those without understanding. And then in Matthew chapter 17, we see here the Lord's long-suffering. With those that are weak in faith. For with we, bearing the long-suffering of the Lord and bearing the weak in faith. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came unto him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And when Jesus answered, and then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, you think he's talking to this man? Uh-uh. He's not talking to the man that brought his son. The man that brought his son knows where the healing's at. He brought him to his disciples because Jesus wasn't physically there on the scene. He's up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so he brought him to who was there, and they tried, and they even marveled that they couldn't do it. But it's all for the purpose and plan of the Lord. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him over here to me. Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could what not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Because I give you the word of God, I tell you the truth, I instruct you in what to do, I instruct you how to follow me, and you don't believe it. Because of your unbelief. Not the man. It says over in the same account in Mark chapter 9, oh, what a rebuke to the disciples that are there. What a rebuke maybe even to us. The same account in Mark chapter 9, Jesus said to the man that brought his son, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the man said back to him, the boy's father cried aloud with tears, out with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. That man believed that Jesus could do it. He knew that he had an element of doubt in him, but he knew that the Lord could do it. He asked the Lord to help him. To touch him, to touch his son. Oh, the Lord's children here, he says, because of your unbelief. What did he say, O faithless and perverse generation? How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? But yet he does, doesn't he? Praise the Lord, he does. Because he loves us. He doesn't ever say, nah, time's up, I'm not going to tell you. No, he'll chide us, he'll get on us, he'll correct us. And then he goes ahead and tells, you need to have faith. You need to have faith in what I say and what I give you to do. Luke chapter 24. There on the road to Emmaus, after the Lord has been resurrected, these two that the Lord meets on the road to Emmaus, they're all tore up about how they expected that the Lord would be the Savior, how it would be such that he would be the Redeemer, the Messiah, the one that they've been looking for. They had great expectation in it. And the Lord appears to them, but he holds their eyes to recognize who he is. And we just want to take a look at a few scriptures here. These two folks are saved. These two folks are to have the fruit of the Spirit dwelling and being manifested in their lives. And the Lord is speaking to them, and I believe he's speaking to us also. And he says here in verse number 25 of Luke chapter 24, after they had said that Jesus was crucified, how he did die, how he was buried, and they went to the sepulchre, and he wasn't there anymore. And he says unto them in verse 25 of Luke 24, then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Slow to believe what God says in his word. Slow to believe the command and blessing and word and way and will of the Lord. He's not talking to sinners that are without salvation. He's talking to those that he saved. Oh, the long-suffering of the Lord with we that are weak in faith. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? He told his disciples so much there, as we encourage you between the hymn and Gethsemane, about those things that would come to pass, about those things that would be accomplished, about that he would die, but yet even though he would die and be buried, he would still be in control. Because he's God. Because he's the God-man. He told them that so they wouldn't be offended, so they wouldn't be discouraged, but just to wait for him, and he would manifest his power unto them. It goes on here in this account, after the Lord deals with these folks here on the road to Emmaus, and then he goes back and he meets with his church. In verse number 45 of Luke 24, Then opened he their understanding when he appeared to the church that they might understand the scriptures. And that's what we need. We need to pray, Lord, help me to understand. Lord, help me to believe. And when I don't understand and when I don't believe, it's my problem. And I need to fess up to it and repent of it and ask the Lord to go ahead and help me to believe and to understand yet again. And when he does give it, to praise his name for it, to thank him for it, and to rejoice in it, that the Lord has opened such things unto us. And he said unto them, in verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. It was appropriate for him to suffer. It was a plan of God for him to suffer. It was necessary for him to die. They're all in a sweat and in a turmoil about Christ having died, but he told them, I must suffer. I must die. It is necessary that I go away from you for a little time to go back and to be with my Father for that short time, and then he comes back and spends 40 days with them. Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. See, he told them, and they just couldn't believe it. He told them, and they just wouldn't believe it. They were weak in faith to say, how could that work? How could it be that you die would profit any of us? But see, that's long-suffering, folks. It's long-suffering for us to wait on the will, plan, and purpose of the Lord. And the Lord's long-suffering in dealing with we who are weak. That repentance and remission of sins, in verse 47, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The long-suffering of the Lord with us, with we that are weak in faith. There's some other points here that we're not going to take a look at this time. But I want to speak to we that are saved. How is our fruit of long-suffering? And there's more that we're going to take a look at here in the message to come. But how is it with your long-suffering? Does your long-suffering, is it match up to that of the Lord's as mine? We need to evaluate ourselves, that we wait on the Lord, and that we seek His face, that we wait on Him when it's time to wait, that we do when it's time to do, and that we pray that the Lord would help us to be long-suffering. To you that hear this morning and not saved, I want to speak to you for a second. In Acts chapter 17, I want you to consider how it is with the Lord. Here in Acts chapter 17, you that are here this morning and don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, here, the Apostle Paul in Athens on Mars Hill, and he saw about how they had this inscription, this statue, this memorial to the unknown God. And in verse number 30, he tells how, in a sense, that we are the children of God, that God has created us, but that God is not to be likened to what a man can make with his hands, but that He's a spirit. And this great ignorance that is naturally amongst mankind, in verse number 30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. We've preached on that winking, that it's the tremoring of the Lord's eye as He looks on at the depravity and the desperateness of man to try to get to Him, try to get to God His own way, and that none of it works. But in that winking, in that trembling of the Lord's eye as He looks on at the sin of man and man trying to get to Him, Romans chapter 1 starts off and tells how idolatry will lead a man. It'll lead him to destruction. It'll lead him to God giving him over to himself three times. The idolatry, the paganism, the wickedness of it all. It can get to a point with a man, God will just give him up. You just give him up. That's how this book starts. But this ignorance, the Lord winks at. He's long-suffering towards sinners. long-suffering towards sinners so that the Word of God might go out, the gospel of Jesus Christ go out to sinners that are in need of salvation to give them an opportunity to hear. To hear. To believe what the Lord says. But he says that the times of this ignorance, or this long suffering, if you will, God winked, or the times of this ignorance God winked at, or his long suffering, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because Jesus has come, has lived, has been crucified, died, and been buried, and rose again. It's been accomplished. He's coming back any time, because he hath appointed a day, verse 31, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Listen to the reaction. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. They said, that's crazy. You are nuts. That's one reaction. Isn't that the way folks react to the gospel of the Lord today? So that's crazy. What are you talking about, Jesus? What are you talking about, my sin? What are you talking about, living again? Don't you know this is it? They mock. They mock. They mock. They come to a church service, and they endure it to get a little dab, a little check mark of religion taken care of. Said, I've got my religion. I ought to be good. No. No, that's not the way that it is. And some that heard that they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we want to hear more about this. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. That's it. All this paganism up here on Mars Hill, it's empty, it's void, it's wickedness. But what you preach, this Jesus that you extol, this Savior of sinners that God Almighty has sent, that is who I need. Some believed. Some mocked. Some said, I want to listen a little bit more about that. Maybe there's something to that. Others said, yes, I receive it. Yes, I receive it. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. You that are here this morning and not saved, the Lord is being long-suffering with you. But will come a point, you'll run out of time. Your life will come to an end, and that'll be it. The Lord testifies, and the Scripture testifies in Acts chapter 20, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to repent. You need to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 2, after the apostle is going through all the wickedness and the way man naturally seeks after God, he says in the beginning of this chapter 2, because of the witness of God in the world and in His creation, we're inexcusable. And we can't lay our wickedness and our blame off on somebody else. You can't blame anybody for your sin. Your sin's your sin, my sin's mine. We're inexcusable before God. And we can't try to make ourselves better by pushing somebody else down. And that's naturally the way men work. And it says here in verse number 4, and I want you to listen to this, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? He goes on to say, but if you're going to be hard, and you harden your heart, and you reject the gospel and the word of the Lord, then that's where you'll be, and that's what you'll have for an eternity. But realize that the Lord is forbearing. The Lord is being long-suffering. The Lord is sending His Word. And as the Lord told the man that brought His son, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. When the Lord talked to His disciples and said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, And the disciples said, who can be saved? Who can be saved? We all have something, especially in our country. We are the poorest of the poor in our country are wealthy beyond measure in other nations. And that's what they understood. Some of those men, one of them was a tax collector. He wasn't poor. Those fishermen, I venture to say that James and John and Peter and Andrew, they had a thriving business. Their daddy had been working at it for a while and had handed it down to them. They were part of the food chain. They had some wealth about it. They might have not been the richest. But they said, who then can enter? And the Lord said, with men it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. How about you? Child of God, do you have the fruit of long-suffering being exercised in your life the way Jesus Christ has and does? You that are without Jesus Christ as your Savior and are in desperate need of salvation, do you see the long-suffering of God towards you in giving your life to this time to hear this message? And the Lord tells you to come to Him in repentance and faith. Do you see the forbearance? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.